You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
Roads, we're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes, why did it have to be snakes?
Vices? We don't need no vices. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
Not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you could find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, basically anywhere you get your podcast. You can also find more of our content on our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you'll find links to not only this show, but some of our other shows, like The Multiverse Fancast and MF Uncensored. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Paul. With me in the studio today is Sean. Sean, how are you today?
I am just wonderful, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing all right. You know, nothing a few mushrooms can't cure.
Ooh. You got you sharing, or are you just, it's all for you?
I don't know. I'm just feeling a little small today. I just want to...
Just a little?
Just a little small, you know?
Okay, there's drugs for that.
There's drugs for that.
I mean, you're feeling small. I mean, you know, you want
to... I was really trying to make Super Mario jokes, but now it's getting a little
well,
real.
You should have thought of that. You know, when you said you were feeling small, I was like, oh, he opened the door. That's not my fault.
It's because I didn't have a good workout today, you pervert. But anyway, for those of you guys who haven't figured out what we're talking about, today we are discussing not one, but two movies, and the second one took me forever to finally see.
Finally. When did this come out?
I don't want to talk about it. I wanted to see it so bad in theaters, and just... Sean and I can both attest that going to the theaters is... a pain in the ass nowadays.
It's just not what it used to be.
It's so expensive, scheduling, and it's so much easier to just watch these movies on home.
It is. I will say that, but I still defend going to see a movie in a movie theater. There are movies... we've come to a point in time where you can look at a movie and you go, I need to see that in a theater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mission Impossible, Oppenheimer.
Apparently Mission Impossible is bomb too.
I don't know. I haven't been following it, but I've heard very good things.
I've heard very good things. But just people aren't going to the movies anymore.
Which is a shame, because, I mean, I thought Top Gun Maverick was the one to really bring people back, and I guess just Barbie broke $1 billion!
Yeah.
Good for them!
Barbie has the weirdest demographic, though, of all time, because ideally for theaters, and this is not me saying this, this is statistical demographics, most movies try and capture that 12 to 25 male mm-hmm. demographic. So that's why superhero movies were all dudes for a long time, you know, with very pretty women on the offset. And that's not our opinion. That's just the way that it was. It was like that, you know, the 80s was the big machismo level where it was like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers doing their iconic, good to see you again, handshake. That's like the best meme ever. But... that's just the way theaters were. Now, you got Barbie, which of all things has such a weird demographic where it's attracting the girls mm-hmm. because it's Barbie. It's attracting the dudes for some reason, like Margot Robbie. Let's all be honest.
Margot Robbie.
Apparently, Ryan Gosling is now also charted with the Ken song.
Oh, he's hysterical.
I heard he's really funny. And I still have not seen this movie. I need to go see it.
You really do need to go see it.
I know.
I really do highly recommend it.
And that's the thing. It's one of those movies that catches... it's very rare for a movie to catch every single demographic that they're aiming for.
Because I really want to talk about it. Because I don't want to get into it now, but I really want to do an episode on this movie because it is a movie that you can break down and go, where have I seen this before? Mm-hmm. I've seen this idea before. What does it compare to? How did they come up with this? Like when you think Barbie, are you going to make a movie out of Barbie? I'm thinking it's going to be something like what we're going to talk about. Like, you know, animated, you know, CGI animation, you know, just a little fun, loving kiddie movie.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a kid movie. So eventually I'm sure you will see it. I think it's probably going to be coming to like digital.
Very soon, I'm sure.
Anytime now.
I'd say in the beginning of September.
Yeah. So I would look forward to an episode on that at some point.
Yeah.
But I'm actually looking forward to what we're going to talk about right here.
So what we're going to do is we're going to have not necessarily a versus episode, because in all honesty, they are two completely different movies.
Two completely different movies and a bit one-sided.
Yeah. We're going to talk about the 1993 Super Mario.
30 years this year. Wow. Yeah.
Super Mario Brothers, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are going to talk about 2023's Super Mario Brothers, the movie. So what we're going to do is we're not going to go plot points by plot points like we sometimes do with some of our shows, but instead we're going to kind of just break it down. The first half is going to be the original one from the 90s. The second half is going to be the brand new one. Pros, cons, what works, what doesn't work, things that we wanted to see, things that we were shocked that we saw, and of course, for the first movie, all the behind-the-scenes drama, because fun fact, John Leguizamo and Bob Hoskins were pretty drunk the entire time. they have gone on record more than once saying how drunk they were the entire time.
Yeah.
That it was such a terrible production. And they were so miserable, especially with the directors, who was like, I think it was like a husband-wife team.
Let me check. I don't, yeah.
Yeah, husband-wife team that like literally had no clue what they were doing, according to Bob Hoskins. Like, they have really, yeah, like, it's bad.
Oh, wow, they were the creators of Max Headroom.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Now that makes sense.
Yeah. So, really quick, let's jump into, what are your earliest memories of this movie?
Honestly, I'd probably say mid-90s on probably Disney Channel. I don't know if it was Disney Channel. One of the cable channels. I was not really into video games much as a kid. Like, I had a Game Boy.
You're still not.
I had, you know, the Super Mario game, but I didn't have an extension. I didn't have a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know much about the characters. And, you know, I just remember watching this movie and going, I had no idea what it was.
Yeah.
You know, you recognize them at the end when they're in their red and green. But after that, you turn on this movie, if you're just a generic person, you have no clue what the hell you're watching.
Right.
There is nothing about this movie that screams, this is a movie, this is a video game movie.
Yeah. So I was a big fan of the games growing up. Mm-hmm. Like, we were at that generation, Nintendo, Super Nintendo, kind of like that weird midpoint where Nintendo was big and Super Nintendo was coming out, and Mario wasn't at his peak, but he was still doing really well.
Yeah.
I remember playing the first game over and over again. Like, yeah. I don't think I ever actually beat a Super Mario game as a child. But now you watch, like, people do, like, the speed runs where they finish the game in 8 minutes or something stupid. But I remember the first one, and the first one is, it's a very simple premise. It is, you're a plumber in this magical land, and your princess has been captured. And you have to go save her. And she's always at a different freaking castle. That was the game. And you crush Goombas and you broke bricks. You didn't do a whole lot of plumbing, so I, you know. But, you know, I don't know if you're familiar, but originally Donkey Kong, like, he was the jump man and all these things. Like, there's a lot of history to Mario, but this isn't a video game podcast, so we're not going to go that far into it. With the exception of some of the Easter eggs in the second movie we're going to talk about. But for me, like, even as a child, like, this movie came out when we were, what, 7?
Yeah, 6, 7.
Ish. I probably didn't see it in theaters. I probably saw it on, you know, VHS, or I probably saw it. I think I have a copy of it somewhere here.
Probably.
That would be a fun drunken movie commentary night. But anyway.
Nice.
So for me, like, I remember seeing it a little bit older and still going, what the hell is this?
It's a movie, I probably say once I hit, like, you know, 13, 14 years old, I watch it again and I'm like, all right, this is not good, but it's watchable. Like,
it's very understandable why this movie has such a cult following.
Because it's bad.
It's so bad.
But I think it's also got a cult following because the casting is so ridiculous.
In a good way or bad way?
Both.
Okay. So let's talk about the cast then really quick, since you brought it up. Ideally, they picked two amazing choices for Mario and Luigi.
On paper, yeah, you could, but I think, let me hear. So it's 1993. Bob Hoskins was never a star.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it that way. He was a well-respected actor. You know. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
He had just come off of doing Roger Rabbit and Hook.
Such great.
So two kids movies in quotations.
Yeah.
They were not like directed nearly at kids, but they were.
They were 80s.
They were kid friendly movies.
They were like Goonies and all that stuff.
He didn't want to do this movie. He didn't want to become a kid actor, as he put it. And he looks like the character if you put a mustache on him, but he's British.
Yeah. Doing a Brooklyn accent.
John Leguizamo, who was not known. He was a stand-up.
Ironically, this movie put him into, like, stardom.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it started his career.
And he's been... I love John Leguizamo. I think he's...
Oh, I think he's very underrated.
He's done some... He could be stupid, or he actually could be a very good actor.
You know a movie I loved him in?
The Pest?
No, I was going to say, even though he's only in it for a couple of minutes, John Wick.
Oh, yeah. John Wick is great.
Oh, my God.
I loved him in, Spawn.
Spawn, that's right. That's what we gotta talk about at some
point.
And
I don't know if you ever saw, it's one of these typical 90s action disaster flicks with Kurt Russell, Executive Decision. He plays, you know, a soldier, and he's badass in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
But he wasn't known. And there's a great quote, I found it here on Wikipedia, where he goes, you know, oh, well, you know, Italians playing Latinos all the time, Al Pacino and Scarface. Well, now it's our turn. Latino playing Italian.
Yeah, they were not subtle. Like, they are. They're a little bit better nowadays, but they were not subtle.
But, you look back and you're going like, really? Those were the two best options you could find?
Best options.
And it's...
wild.
It is wild. It really is wild because, A, they're like 30 years apart in age, mm-hmm. almost, because I think John Leguizamo was probably in his 20s. Bob Hoskins was in his like 50s. So them being brothers makes no effing sense.
Yeah. That's fair.
So I'm sorry. I'm trying to, like, so mad. I'm not mad. I'm just looking at it going like, was Bob Hoskins really a, you know, a guy's name above the title that you were like, wow, this is the best idea we could come up with?
I think when they started doing like promotional stuff, I'm sure people were like, oh, that looks pretty good.
Well, I agree.
Because like even like the background of like, or the artwork on the cover is, mm-hmm. you know, them standing there and they're wearing the iconic costumes and all that stuff. But it's weird because, yeah, on paper they sound fantastic and visually they look pretty good most of the time. But, oh my God. So, we're going to talk about our next character now. Dennis Hopper as President Koopa.
President Koopa.
Shut up. Oh my God. All right,
Dennis
so...
Dennis Hopper is just... he is so over the top, but he's over the top in everything he does.
Oh yeah, he is not a subtle actor.
No, no. I mean, this is close to like his role in Speed. He's just a nutjob.
Yeah. So, do you think, before we start critiquing it, do you think this movie was hampered by the effects of the time?
I think it was hampered by the effects of the time. I think it was hampered by a bad script. Mm-hmm. I think it was trying to be something it shouldn't have been. It was going for the Street Fighter look. It was going for those early 90s
adaptations. You know what movie this reminds me of visually? Double Dragon. Did you ever see Double Dragon?
I've seen it like a long time ago.
Like they had like the electric cars. Mm-hmm. There's nothing funnier than watching a 90s movie that takes place in a quote-unquote dystopian future. Now, obviously, this is not the dystopian future, mm-hmm. but it's a dystopian wasteland. And you watch like a movie like Double Dragon and they're still using 90s vernacular. So it's like, it's 2040. Yeah, shut up, butthead. Wait, what?
What? That's another thing. It's like, really a dystopian? First of all, you're tying this to the dinosaurs. That the asteroid that killed the dinosaurs, in quotation.
Just split up the universe.
Split up the universe and created this dystopian dino kingdom.
Which,
it wasn't always dystopian.
Yeah,
Dennis Hopper has made it dystopian.
I can get behind that in concept. In execution, it just does not land 1,000%. Like
it's not a Mario Brothers plot. Like you literally just described the game.
Yeah,
I get that the game has no plot line to it. So it's like, how do we make a movie out of a plumber? So I hear that you have to expand the plot.
Yeah,
but again, it's like. Really?
And then they have to accommodate for the fact that they cannot do the effects. They could not have created an actual Bowser in this. So
and Yoshi just looks like a little raptor from Jurassic
Park. Yeah,
and Jurassic
he's
Park.
Fine animatronic-wise.
And this is the same year Jurassic Park came out, too.
Which is wild. Imagine if Industrial Light and Magic did the effects.
They probably were too big. They couldn't do it.
Yeah, no. Physically impossible. But Dennis Hopper's... like again, if this wasn't a Mario movie, I'd be a little bit more about it, ironically. We have Samantha Mathis.
Princess Samantha Mathis. Princess Daisy. They don't even go with Peach.
Which is wild. Like, they tried to make this a Luigi movie to a point.
They did.
Ironically enough, Luigi's more of a focus in this movie, and then he's zero focus in the other movie that we're going to talk about.
Pretty much.
Like, Luigi disappears halfway through, or a third of the way through.
Pretty much, yeah.
Spoiler, sorry, but
it shows where Luigi is as a character.
Yeah. But
Luigi again.
I always liked Luigi. He could jump higher. He was a little bit faster in Mario Kart than Mario was.
Well, he's thinner.
Yeah, he's much thinner. Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah. So it was a bold choice for them to do Daisy instead of Peach. They were teeing up for a sequel. The last shot is the sequel bait. Daisy popping in and being like, "You'll never guess
she's
what's
like
going
Tomb
on."
Tomb Raider, like you know, she looks like Lara Croft before Lara Croft, you know, was you know ever in a movie.
Yeah. So. It was a very interesting kind of...
It always boggles my mind when you create a... When you do a movie and you set yourself up for a sequel. Like, to me, that's so brazen.
Well, let's not forget, this was the biggest video game franchise at the time.
I totally understand that, but...
So I get that they wanted to do a sequel, and they assumed, they're like, it's Super Mario, it's got clout, it's gonna bring in people. But they did the classic Hollywood mistake where, here's our source material, which is fantastic, but you know we don't have to pay homage or honor the script in any capacity.
No.
So yeah, she's fine in the film, but she's very disconnected from the rest of the characters for most of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and obviously Luigi falls head over heels for her. Now,
is Daisy like a I know oh, yeah, Daisy
she's a real character.
The only game, yeah, I just don't ever see. Like, and she's never in like the big games where you see like all the characters.
Yeah, she's more of a like a Mario Party or okay, like stuff like that.
She was not in Mario but she Kart. Is she's not in, you know, any of those Super
more
Smash
modern,
Brothers.
More modern Mario Kart she'll, okay. she'll pop in. But she is a character from the game. She is Luigi's love interest. Hmm. So now we got the Koopa twins. Fisher Stevens and Richard Edison as Iggy and Spike Koopa, the comedic relief?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Again, stupid. Just... it.
So dumb. So,
it,
like...
It makes, like... I understand. No one knows what the Koopas are supposed to be. Like, how do you make this? What do you do?
So, the idea that they do with this is that the dinosaurs and the Koopa-looking things and all of them, they have evolved to a point of appearing humanoid with lizard-like characteristics. Mm-hmm. And then we get to see, obviously, Koopa as his in his Bowser form, you know, like, very strange. But, yeah, these two are just kind of there, and they're the comedic relief. Like, I think at the end, I think in the post-credit scene, they're pitching the whole thing to a studio executive. Yeah, if memory serves correct. But
this is the first movie I saw Fiona Shawn, you know, obviously Mrs. Dursley from Harry Potter.
Yeah, and who was Lena?
I don't remember. And she's like the sidekick to Koopa. She's like in love with them.
Oh yeah, she
like
plays
that.
Like the secretary or something. Again, like they make a lot of characters for this movie, including Dana Kaminsky as Daniela, who is Mario's girlfriend. What? You take the most important plot point from the game, Princess Peach. And I guess we don't need her. Luigi movie. Let's not forget. So very strange. And then I think Lena gets electrocuted, and like it's kind of graphic.
Yeah, no.
Her skeleton's there with the hair. Because apparently, one thing we learned from '90s movies is when you get electrocuted, your hair is going to do wild things.
Oh, absolutely.
The Home Alone 2. I'll never forget
Bride
it.
Bride of Frankenstein.
Bride of Frankenstein is another good one. Let's see. Mojo Nixon as Toad. One of my favorite characters, my go-to Mario Kart character, because he's the best, all right? Yahoo, that's what he says. And Melanie does it really well, but he does the yell when he falls. Ah, falls off sorry, everyone.
I'm sorry. The fact that Toad became a guy that
and then they turn into a
lizard.
And he's the only one with still some sentience.
And he's got the harmonica.
And then they figure it out in the elevator like, that they like to use.
How is this Toad?
Yeah, it's bad.
Why?
So bad. It is so bad.
You know, and when they finally get their costumes on and, you know, they got the wrenches, they save the girls. Because, like, the whole plot line is that they've been searching for Daisy and they're abducting all these girls from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, and actually Mario's girlfriend's one of them that gets abducted. And they're, what is it? They're sliding down the pipe in a
tube. When they rescue all the girls and they're on like on a mattress.
Yes, that's what it is.
And Mario drops the wrench and then they flip the other one. Apparently Bob Hoskins' hand was broken in that scene.
Oh, really?
So if you watch it, he's wearing a pink cast. Either he broke like a couple of fingers or one finger or something, but he had to wear a cast for that, if memory serves correct. Wow. But anywho.
It's...
Yeah, that's like the biggest cast members. You know, we got Francesca P. Roberts as Big Bertha. What? Like, is that an actual character from the games? I have to double check this.
I don't think so. I don't remember.
We're gonna find out the fun way. Let's see, I don't see her, but she might be. It might be like one of those things that she's, you know, misnamed or something like that. But
so here we go. In a 2007 interview, because I think Bob Hoskins passed away. Early 2010s, mm-hmm. something like that. So, you know, he was asked, you know, what is the worst acting choice in your career? He immediately responded, Super Mario Bros.
Oh, he has not been kind to
this
movie.
An effing nightmare. The whole experience was a nightmare. I had a husband and wife team directing whose arrogance had been mistaken for talent. After so many weeks, their own agent told them to get off the set. Effing nightmare, effing idiots. He and Leguizamo got drunk before each day of filming and continued to drink between takes.
Yes.
That's
awesome. Wow. Legends.
His son is a fan of the Mario series as well as the film and praised his performance.
Don't worry, Dad. You did a good job. Anyway, it's bad. On a budget of $42 to $48 million, it pulled around $38.9 million. Now, that's not including the home release, which back then was a much bigger thing. Now, it's very interesting how home releases work because you have the networks that stream. Mm-hmm. You have, you know, like you can only stream this movie on Peacock.
Yes.
Oh, no, excuse me. The second one I'm talking about. Sorry.
You can only stream Mario on Peacock because it's got to deal with Illumination, which is Universal, which is NBC, which is on Pizza.
Which is just a pain in the butt because you would pay them, but do they, like, how does that affect the movie?
I don't know. Yeah. I really got to do a deep dive into how the streaming rights works. But that's another reason why we're in the situation we're in right now with writers and actors, is because no one can understand what the streaming royalties are.
Yeah, they're getting pennies on the...
They're getting pennies on the dollar.
Yeah. Like, I just finished 8 seasons of Suits.
Damn, dude.
Only to find out that the 9th season wasn't on Netflix. Luckily, it was on Prime, so I managed to find it.
Why? I'm just curious.
I have no idea. So mad.
You know that show is, like, widely now been a Netflix biggest thing watching? Like, there's talk about
a revival.
A revival.
Yeah, just because it did so well on Netflix.
Which,
like,
blows my mind.
Got released earlier this year. That's when I started watching it.
It was on streaming services before Netflix. I believe it's been on Amazon Prime, like, all this time. Like, why all of a sudden were people like, oh, let's watch Suits?
I don't know, but I think Suits or Netflix is just better for binging, and it's just easier.
It's fair.
But anyway, so, like, I think Black Widow kind of opened the door, though, for that conversation to start. Because remember, Scarlett Johansson was pissed.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was supposed to get a profit, a percentage of the gross, yeah. And they were like, "No, this is streaming. $30 to watch this movie doesn't go nothing. None of it goes to you."
Yeah.
And I think she turned around and sued, and they
settled because she's back with the studio.
Yeah, way out of court. They'll never know how much money she made from them. You know, and even though that was during the pandemic and all that, like, we get it, but come on, that was shady.
That was kind of the beginning. And the big thing, obviously, and we've talked about this before, the big thing for everyone is the AI, mm-hmm. and then it's the streaming. Those are the two big issues for the actors in this strike. There's no resolvement coming at any point in time. I mean, they've already delayed the Emmys till January. You know, at this rate, I don't know how many more movies are in coming out, because I'd say by Christmas, I'd be shocked if there's going to be much being released.
No, but let's get back to this. Obviously, there were plans for a sequel. It never happens.
No.
And there was a sequel webcomic in 2013, but it's not considered canon. But it's wild. This movie did terribly.
Yeah. But it falls in that cult classic status because it's a movie that, I guess, it attempted to adapt something that was so beloved, and it just bombed so poorly that people just wonder, like, what were these people thinking?
I don't have a problem with certain liberties being taken in adapting a product. Like, obviously, there are times, like, if you made, like, Superman suit green, I'd be like, what the hell are you thinking? Like, why? That sort of thing. But, like, you make an adaptation, especially for a modern audience, based on an old, like, this is a 1980s property. Mm-hmm. Like, so you have to do things that... And obviously, you can't just do a movie of him just side-scrolling the entire time, just jumping on Goombas. You have to add some sustenance to it. You have to add some plot. Like, they did a little homage in the second movie where, mm-hmm. like, you know, they do, like, the side shots of every once in a while. But in all honesty, they took the concept and applied a script. It feels like it was a script for a different movie.
It does, because, like, none of that screams to me Super Mario Bros.
Yeah. Again, if it had just been, like, a... Hey, we're two normal guys, and we accidentally get transported.
If it had been the plot line of the movie we're going to talk about after the break, mm-hmm. it'd be different.
Very different.
You know?
Because that movie takes liberties too, but it works.
It works. Now, hear me out here. It's 1993. We all know that the graphics in Super Nintendo and regular Nintendo were not what we deal with today.
No, I was playing Spider-Man today.
Is it because we didn't get these, like N64 hadn't come out yet, so we had not seen Mario Party and... You know, the effects of the Mario characters really at that point. Do you think that had something to do with the way they were able to take so much of a liberty
no,
with this story?
No, because they did it for every single video game. Video game adaptations are notoriously bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are very few and far between of ones that are actually good. Like, I like the first Mortal Kombat from the 90s. And mm-hmm. I like the remake they did, which was all right. But again, they took a lot of liberties with both.
Street Fighter.
Street Fighter is such a cult classic also at this point. Like, we could do a whole episode on just video game travesties. Double Dragon. Like, when I was a kid, I loved Double Dragon. It was so bad, but I loved it so much. Because I was a big fan of the TV show. Mm. Again, a better adaptation was animated. But in all honesty, they had these video game movies with, like, super simple plots, but they just can't do the damn plot. Like, Street Fighter is about a Street Fighter competition. Just do the damn competition. The video games have storylines. Mortal Kombat has a storyline in the video game. Like, and then there's, like, an ending for each character that shows what happens to them after.
Yeah.
Like, just do it.
just do it. It's like, there. Just do it.
Especially for a game like Mortal Kombat, which most people don't even know that there's a plot. It's just smashy, smashy, punchy, punchy. And I just, it blows my mind that they decided, like, remember Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li?
Oh, with what's her name?
Kristen Crook. Oh my God, that movie was, it's been on recently too. I think like on Sci-Fi and stuff like that. And I tried watching it. Oh my God, it was painful. It was worse than seeing it in theaters.
Wow.
Just because we were so in love with Kristen Crook at the time.
Oh, well, that was post.
That was right after she left Smallville, like immediately after. That was why she left, to go start her film career.
And then she did, what was it, that Beauty and the Beast show?
For a long time. CW. And then she did another CW show, because CW just keeps the same actors. Mm. And I think she did, she was in Reacher. Yeah, she was the wife of the guy who gets abducted. Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, I am right.
Forgot about that.
You're welcome.
I never said you were wrong.
I know. But anyway, video game movies, notoriously bad. So, what is Star City rating for the original Super Mario Bros.?
I give it a 2.
Give it a 2? Yeah. 2 in quality, but in just stupid fun to watch. Like, if it's on TV, I will watch it. I will throw it on.
I agree. Yeah, I'll never forget this. So, I used to work at the video store in town, and
those were the days.
Every like couple of weeks, they would send us a shipment of older movies to add to the library of the store. And I distinctly remember it was one day I'm looking through the pile. I'm like, oh, Super Mario Brothers. And I immediately put it on the TV in the room, in the store, and just watch this movie. I'm just like, oh my God, this movie's horrible, but I don't care.
So bad.
I don't care.
I could not turn away from it if it's on. Like, I just because I have to watch it.
Well, again, because it came out when we were younger. If that movie had come out 10 years ago, I mean, we'd probably never talk about it. Ugh. We'd talk about it once and we'd be like,
it'd never. It'd be The Legend of Chun-Li.
Yeah, where it's like, I'll never watch this movie ever again.
Not going to lie, though, the one scene that always gets me in that movie is the ba-bomb scene.
We're talking about Super Mario Bros.?
The original one, yeah, the 90s one, where he picks it up and everybody panics.
Yeah.
A ba-bomb! And he lights it, and it starts walking, and it just drops, and he's like, oh. and then it works out, but like, it's just a, like, everybody freaks out at this little ba-bomb. It's the only thing that they did accurate the entire movie is a little tiny walking replica. But, I mean, let's all get out our de-evolution rays and see what happens. But with that, we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the most recent Super Mario adaptation. But first, a quick break. Hey guys, it's Paul, and the Misfit Faction is looking for your help. We are trying to grow not only our network, but also grow our brands. And the best way to do that is if you guys are looking to start your very own podcast. Maybe you guys have been listening to us for a while. Maybe it's something you guys have always wanted to do, but you're not sure how to get started. If you go to podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys will get a month of free podcasting on us. That is a gift from us. So make sure if you guys are looking to start your own show, you reach out to us and go to podbean.com/misfitfaction. Also, maybe you guys have your own online business or service that you're always looking to grow, and advertising is a very big part of that. If you guys go to sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys can get $100 worth of free advertising, again, as a thank you from us to you guys. That's sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction. All right, we are back, and now we are talking about the $1.359 billion making movie, Super Mario Brothers, the movie. So, when they first announced this, what were your thoughts, Sean?
Well, when they just first announced they were making a movie, I was intrigued, because we have not had a Mario movie ever since
1993.
The movie we just talked about. And Nintendo was so pissed that they didn't license their characters out ever again. Mm-hmm. And it took a long time. It took basically Universal to acquire the rights to make a theme park land of Mario for them to convince Nintendo, hey, you like what we're doing, let's make a movie.
Yeah, there were a few other, there were a lot of video game movies that came out in the interim. The only ones that, and I hate to say it, the only ones that made any money were the Pokemon movies.
Well, Pokemon, yeah.
Pokemon
just had a life of its own. Pokemon.
It was its own, though it is Nintendo and all that, it is still its own.
But I think Nintendo, when you think Nintendo, it's Mario, it's Luigi, it's Peach,
Legend of Zelda and all that
Zelda,
stuff.
But I think,
which I'm shocked we never got a movie of. Like a Zelda movie? Like, I watch it.
I'm blown away myself that to this day they've never come out with a Zelda movie.
But I did beat The Legend of Zelda when I was 3.
There you go.
No, that was Grandma's Boy. But anyway, let's talk about that movie next, even though I think we did an episode on it.
I think we did too.
That's fine. Who cares? But anyway, so for me though, the biggest fan outcry came with the announcement that Chris Pratt was going to be Mario.
I think the outcry came a lot of the cast, honestly, because it just kind of felt it's the same people all the time. Like what? And then Chris Pratt, I'm just like, am I missing something here? Is it like, is there something in the water that just screams, I have to have Chris Pratt in my movie?
Yeah, Chris, we live in a weird time of Chris's, where Chris Pratt and Chris Pine are just everywhere.
Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans.
It's a weird...
Chris Pine's not everywhere.
He was for a little bit. After Star Trek, like Wonder Woman, like he'd pop up a lot. I think not as much as
Chris Pratt.
No, Chris Pratt went through an explosion of popularity.
Yeah.
And it's really, like, people were really, like, up in arms about it because they were like, he doesn't sound like Mary. And then they waited. And they did the marketing right where they waited and waited.
I remember the first trailer dropped and they...
He doesn't talk.
And I remember texting you or calling you or talking to you not too long after going like, I'm actually impressed with them that they did that. And they're really just holding back because they don't want any outcry.
It was smart.
They didn't want the Sonic all over again.
Yeah. We should talk about those movies at some point.
We do.
Yeah,
I never saw the second one.
It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like, for those of you guys who don't know what Sean's talking about, Sonic came out with the trailer and the design of Sonic was horrifying, and the fan outcry was so vicious that they redesigned the character. They pushed the movie back like 6 months, redesigned the character, and then the movie ended up being a hit.
Yeah.
Because they did the smart thing. They listened to their fans. I wouldn't be surprised if it was some sort of convoluted marketing strategy.
Maybe.
But I still love Ugly Sonic in the Chip and Dale movie.
I thought that was really funny.
But they end up doing Chris Pratt, and for the most part, he's fine.
Yeah, like,
they explain the voice where the movie does it smart. They start off the movie literally after the snowball fight, which is still friggin' hilarious. You can definitely tell this is like the same studio that did Despicable Me.
Oh well, yeah, I mean it's Illumination.
But so they show that a commercial for the Mario Brothers, and they use the original cartoon theme from the 90s, which is, you know, for the Mario Brothers. It's really good. I don't want to sing it. Thank you. But and in the commercial, they use their iconic voices.
Yeah.
And then they're watching the commercial, and they're like, "What do you think the voices are a little too much? Like, because they wanted to sell it and create characters, and that's why they're all dressed like that. And the original voice, Charles Martinet, I think is his name, he does... he's another character based on the original Donkey Kong appearance of Jumpman, and he goes, "I think it's a great woohoo!" And he does the Mario voice because obviously he also voices
the father
Giuseppe, which is pretty funny. I'll give it that one.
Yeah,
but let's see.
I mean, the voice cast is an excessive voice cast. I mean, you have Chris Pratt, you have Anya Taylor-Joy as Peach, you have Charlie Day as Luigi, Jack Black as Bowser, Keegan-Michael Key as Toad, Seth Rogen as
Donkey Kong,
and then Fred Armisen, I'm blanking on who Fred Armisen is, he's Cranky Kong.
Yeah, you would recognize Fred Armisen.
No, I know who Fred Armisen is. I mean, I don't remember who he was in the movie.
Yeah, so let's...
Me scoozy.
Let's talk about this movie, though, paying the most homage to their video game roots as humanly possible. Super Mario is a franchise that works better animated. Like, I hate to say it. As much as we want to see live action and we want to see those adaptations.
I agree with that statement. I think that world just fits in the animation.
Absolutely.
You know, domain.
And again, it's a similar plot where...
Well, yeah. And when you look at the animation, you're like, it's literally like just watching a video game. I mean, the characters
also like,
look exactly the way they do.
The movie starts off almost the exact same way the 90s one started.
Oh, yeah.
With an emergency happening underneath Brooklyn, and the Mario Brothers are like, we'll save it. In the 90s movie, it was Daisy's dig site that it was getting flooded because they wanted to get rid of her or something. I don't even remember.
Yeah, it was something political.
Yeah. So in this, they decided, we're going to be heroes. We're gonna save everybody. Did you mention Sebastian Maniscalco as Spike from Wrecking Crew?
No, I did not.
The only Italian-American. This one. But yeah, so they get transported into the Mushroom Kingdom. They never explain anything about that pipe. It's just there. And they get separated. And the whole plot of the movie isn't him trying to save Peach.
Him trying to save Luigi.
Because it is a little woke. Let's be honest. It's a little bit more... The modern interpretation is Peach is a badass warrior who's... She's not getting captured anytime soon. But anyway. So he's there to save Luigi. I like the little homage to Luigi's Mansion where he lands... Oh, God. I would watch a Luigi's Mansion movie.
I'm hoping they do one.
I think that'd be a lot of fun. What did you think of Charlie Day as Luigi?
It was okay.
Yeah.
Again, it was once they decided not to do the, you know,
the traditional voices,
anybody could have played the characters.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, and that's nothing against Chris Pratt and Charlie J.
When Chris Pratt does his, like, Mario voice, it sounds fine. Like, he does a couple of wahoos, like, or like, ha-ha, like a couple of those. But otherwise, like, yeah, it's like Sean said. Once they decided that they were going to go a certain way, they didn't need, it didn't matter who they casted. Now, the cast was really just the draw at that point.
Absolutely. I mean, we never hear Bowser talk. We've never really
in the games. No, he was very quiet. And in the then games.
We never heard Donkey Kong talk.
Oh yeah. Well, I remember the cartoon show.
The cartoon show. But I mean, when you cast Seth Rogen and Jack Black, you know their voices, so you know those you're gonna expect. Keegan-Michael Key as Toad, which I know you are a little.
I'm still. That's probably my only meh about it, just because, like, I get changing the voices of Mario and Luigi, like, and they're in movie explanations fine. But to have Toad, who's notoriously high-pitched, and, again, another character that they have the voice actor for.
Yeah.
For them to go with Keegan-Michael Key, who I like, I really do, it was a little off-putting for me. But that's just me. Even Seth Rogen, I remember we're watching him, and Melanie goes, is that Seth Rogen? I was like, yeah. She's like, oh, I hear it now. Once he laughed, I was like, oh.
Well, it's... You know, I like Seth Rogen as a person. I think he's funny in some things, but it's just like... Did Donkey Kong really need to be Seth Rogen?
Yeah.
Sat in the room and was like, Seth Rogen is Donkey Kong. And I'm like, you can't think of anyone better?
It sounds more like a joke that just kind of happens. Like, it was said as a joke, and so it was like, he owes us one.
I mean, even Jack Black is Bowser. Somebody would be like, really?
And it ended up, he was great.
I'm not knocking it, but I'm just like, you're sitting in a boardroom or like you're the directors, and you're like, who do we get to voice these characters? And if I was like, oh, Bowser, you got to get some really good actor, you know, who plays villains a lot, that would be cool.
Yeah.
You know, Donkey Kong, you get, you know, big guy, I don't know, you know, you get Alan Ritchin, you know, or something like
that. That'd be funny, actually.
You know, like...
Well, it was back in the day, they would have had...
I wouldn't think of Seth Rogen or Jack Black.
Back in the day, they would have had, like, Michael Clarke Duncan as Bowser.
Mm.
Actually, that would have been funny for Toad. Like, the most intimidating sounding guy in the whole world as Toad.
But, I mean, Jack Black, who I used to despise. I used to hate Jack Black with a passion because I did not find him funny. I will never forget the first thing he did where I was like, wow, actually, this is really good. It was Tropic Thunder.
Oh, yeah, he was fantastic.
And from that point on, anything he does, I'm like, I actually like this. He does a lot of good stuff.
He got out of his own way. He was on track to be very much like John Heder from Napoleon Dynamite, where, like, is this his thing? This is just going to be his thing. I think it started off with the Kung Fu Panda movies, which outstayed their welcome, in my very humble opinion.
First one was good.
I think the second one I saw was pretty good, and then I was just kind of over it.
I don't know how many there have been since then.
Like... and then TV show, apparently. God. But, yeah, he, you know, Nacho Libre came out, and it was a weird, like, just...
God, about that movie.
But he was always, like, he was very famous,
School
though.
Rock is, like, probably his most famous movie.
Yes, and also, like, he's part of the Tenacious D group, and they did their Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny, or whatever it was called. So, like, he has a very loyal following, but he's finally branched out. Like you said, Tropic Thunder was the start of it, where even though he played a very Jack Black character... He also played a very realistic depiction of characters and of actors in Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know, he got my jelly beans. But for me, like, he does a great job and he gives 100%. Like, you can never say Jack Black ever phones in anything.
No.
And he's been in a couple of more, I don't want to say serious roles, but like a little just.
I watched for the first time this past holiday season the movie The Holiday.
Oh, yeah.
With Cameron
Diaz,
Kate Winslet, and then it's Jude Law is like the love interest for Cameron Diaz, and Jack Black is the love interest for Kate Winslet. And I'm like, that makes no sense. But I watched the movie, and I'm like, he is a great guy.
Yeah, he's just because he
plays nothing in that movie is Jack Black. He is just playing a normal guy.
Yeah. Jack Black seems like a guy who's just very genuine, and just, I think that charisma comes off of him.
And we got to talk about the song Peaches. I mean, it's...
Oh, my God, that took on a life of its own.
It took on a life of its own, but it's like, and he just did it on the spot.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing in the script about him going...
They do a lot better with explaining the motivations of Bowser in this. Like, he literally just wants to, like, marry Princess Peach.
Yeah, that's all he's in for.
Super problematic, but okay. little.
I don't think it matters in that world.
No. Consent does, but... What if she says no? She won't. She says no. Yeah. But basically the whole movie is just him trying to get Princess Peach.
And he's taking over all these other kingdoms.
To do it, to find the superstar.
I just love the beginning with the snow.
Oh my God. That is but just a taste of our fury. He just lights the whole place up.
I went into this movie. I'll be honest. I did not want to like this movie.
I know.
I really did not want to like it. And I'm watching it. I'm like, this is actually very enjoyable. It's just a lot of fun. There's some great Easter eggs. We get our first ever like Mario Kart-esque thing on screen, which was pretty funny.
Rainbow Road. Yep.
The Rainbow Road. And you're like, oh, wow. Like, I'm like 10 years old again playing this on the N64. This is fun.
Oh, God.
And the storyline is what it is.
It's very simple.
We just literally went over the original movie where they tried to make it so over the top and too much.
Mm-hmm.
This one held back and just kind of made it a plain old rescue story. And we're just going to throw a bunch of fun little memories at you, because this is obviously geared towards like... Yes, this is geared towards the kids of the 90s, I would think. It's some of the 80s as well, because the opening of the movie is based off the 80s show. So clearly you're aiming at the original Nintendo crowd. And then obviously, you get into the nowadays with everything else.
This movie felt more like, hey, let's start off with a solid plot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have our bare bones of a plot. Like, we're going from A to Z. Now we need to fill in with all the nostalgia berries. And they do it a lot better in this film because it was almost the opposite for the 90s film, where it's like, well, we'll give them their costumes and use all the names, but nothing else.
Yeah.
So for this, like, they do a great job. Like, some of the very subtle Easter eggs, because, of course, this is a movie when I first started watching it, I was like, I need to look for every single Easter egg possible. I was waiting for them to drop one of the penguins off the side, like,
in
64.
Yeah.
But let's see. Some of our power-ups that you got. We got the mushroom at the fire flower. Let's see. We got the mini mushrooms. The super mushrooms. Stars. And that was ice flowers. The tanuki suit, which is it looks like a raccoon / dog. Obviously iconic from Super Mario 3. I love it so much. And the meowser or the cat suit. Let's see. We also had banana peels were used. Green shells, blue shells. And they made it like make sense continuity-wise. Why they would be used. Stupid blue shell, man. Apparently there's a glitch in the new game that you can actually bypass the blue shell.
Really?
If you have the speed mushrooms, when the blue shell comes above you and it spins, when the spikes are up, if you hit your mushroom, it'll cancel out the blue shell. It's a glitch. It's not an actual game mechanic. They also had the antique shop, which was hilarious. They have a hammer, the music box, the gold dragon coin that was found in Super Mario World, bells that can create the cat suit, the blue P switch blocks that transform the blocks. Let's see, a couple of other things, but that's all I can see right now because I hate reading as I talk.
So, walking out of this movie, did you have? I hearken back to Wreck-It Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
It was very similar to Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, absolutely.
In terms of just the overall nostalgia feel of the old time games and stuff like that. I compare it to that.
Oh, 10 trillion percent. It is the perfect example. Like, Wreck-It Ralph, the first one is really good. And
yeah, I didn't care for the second one.
It was okay.
Yeah.
It was better in concept than in execution. But for me, like, the first one is just such a good movie.
Oh, yeah. Because it's just those just references to those old 80s games.
But they started off with a solid plot.
Yeah.
And then they're like, how can we add... Like, basically, when they come up with the plot, it's here's A, here's C, and here's F. Now let's put in the B and the E.
Yeah.
Did I do my alphabet right? Oh, I think I missed
a few letters. Skipped C, but...
It's fine. Nobody cares. But basically, that's how it works, though. They get their plot, and then they fill in the nostalgia things, which works better.
I totally agree. They instead of going for the nostalgia first and then finding a plot, they have the plot, and then you're like, okay... Let's give everyone what they want now. Where can we put in this little Easter egg? Where will it fit better in the storyline here? Mm-hmm. Would it work there?
Also, think they did a much better job with this, where it's like, what do we need in this movie? What is the necessity of this movie?
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing video game movies have to do. Like the latest Mortal Kombat movie, they were like, we need to have R-rated fatalities. That's what people want from Mortal Kombat. That, like, when we were kids in the 90s, we weren't allowed to play Mortal Kombat because of the graphic nature of the... Like, people getting their arms ripped off and their spines pulled out through their
Finish
ass.
Him.
finish him, the best. I will never not say finish him. But for me, like, this is a great example of they took all the right steps mm-hmm. to make a solid movie. And again, the voice cast is like the bottom of the list at this point.
Yeah, the voice cast is just there. I mean, there really was
It's something that we all thought should be at the top, but we were fine with it not.
But that's what animated movies used to be. The voice was never the factor in the making of the animated movie. It wasn't until the 90s, really, mm-hmm. when you started getting these star-studded actors to do voices. I mean, what's his name? Mel Gibson doing Pocahontas. Yes. I think that was the first time they got like a star-studded major movie name.
So what?
Voice,
but also nowadays, contracts for movies are very different. Where it's like, look at movie 42, one of the worst movies of all time, with the most star-studded cast of all time. But the reason that happened is because a lot of those actors, in fact, 99% of them, had some sort of contract where it's like, you do a 3-film contract, and we pick the third film.
Yeah,
and that's how movie 42 happens for all of them. That was their third film. So you have to be an actor with a lot of clout to pick your own projects. Like Daniel Day-Lewis can pick his own projects.
Well, a lot of actors, I think, will
nowadays, it's a lot.
It's good, but... Yeah.
But Star City rating for Super Mario.
I give it a 3.5.
I'm going to give it a 4. Okay. It is a solid, solid movie. It's hard to find things that are wrong with it.
No, it is very good.
Unfortunately, it's one of those films that maybe I'll watch a second time, but that's it. Yeah. Like, it's a good time. It's a great movie.
I don't think there's anything memorable about it where it's like, wow, I got to watch this numerous times, or I got to make sure.
The rewatchability. Like, it's great for... I'm sure kids will rewatch it.
Absolutely.
The only thing I'll rewatch is Peaches, Peaches, Peaches. But
I'm looking forward to seeing the sequel and what the storyline is going to be. What mm-hmm. other characters are they going to introduce? Obviously, the big... We get the
reveal,
the
Yoshi.
Reveal at the end of Yoshi. I was kind of expecting it to be Wario.
I would be okay if Wario's the bad guy
in the sequel.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. And then I would also be okay if
Daisy
Daisy comes into it a little bit, so they give Luigi, because also I think that movie was better when Mario and Luigi were together, like just plot wise. So for me, I would like to see a little bit more of that. I'm trying to think who else would be, because Bowser's the iconic villain.
Yeah, Donkey Kong. Yeah, I mean
Donkey Kong. Yeah, they established he's not really a villain anymore. I really hope that they are building up to a Super Smash movie.
That would be
wild.
That really would. We got our Mario Kart, you know, little homage in this one. I think Super Smash would be the next one. It's just, how do you come up with that idea?
I think they need to...
I thought the him and Donkey Kong fight was kind of the Super Smash.
It was very Smash.
You know, that was like, oh, okay, they're giving us, but to go crazy.
I would watch a Donkey Kong spinoff of that world. It's not what I want. I'm saying I would watch it.
Yeah.
I would love it if Illumination did Legend of Zelda in that style.
I think the success of this movie, I think Nintendo's going to be much quicker to release their characters out now. I think Zelda's one. I think you're going to see probably more Pokemon stuff in the near future.
Yeah, well, Detective Pikachu killed it at the box office, and that was a really fun movie.
It was a fun movie.
Yeah.
It really was.
And that's coming from Sean, who has no
affiliation. I don't watch Pokemon at all. But
and then
just...
me, who is a Pokemon master. No big deal. Finished Pokedex, but anyway. So let's jump into our Fan Feedback Friday, which I definitely did on Friday. Yeah, I also want to apologize that I've been so late for the Fan Feedback Fridays. Let's see. Who is the greatest movie pet of all time? Did you answer this one, Sean?
I thought I did, but maybe I didn't. I don't
know. Well, who would you say is the greatest movie pet of all time?
I had to think about that. What did I put?
Because I don't think you answered.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah. We got Cujo. We got Frankenweenie.
Frankenweenie.
Air Bud.
Air Bud's good. Yep.
What about Homeward Bound?
Oh,
Shadow?
Any of those Shadow. Oh, I'm going to cry now.
God.
Thank you.
Nobody wrote Lassie. Even though he's more of a TV pet, I guess. But
they made movies out of Lassie.
Yeah. Flipper. They made a Flipper movie with Elijah Wood.
Pet.
Flipper's a pet.
It's not a pet. It's a dolphin.
You're a dolphin, all right?
It's a mammal.
Who'd win in a fight? Flipper or Snowflake the Dolphin?
Snowflake the Dolphin. Oh, from...
Ace Ventura.
Flipper.
You think Flipper would win?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Snowball...
Snowflake.
Snowflake can hit a football.
I'm
can't
sure
do
Flipper
that.
Could do that.
I can't do that.
You could hit a football.
I can hit it, but it's not going to go the right... It's going to go far, but it's not going to go in any sort of... Like, I'm aiming that way, or it's spinning the right way. I still have trouble throwing a spiral, but I can punch somebody really hard, come at me about it. So anyway...
I wasn't coming at you about it.
I was talking to anybody who's going to be mean about it. But if you guys want to participate in Fan Feedback Friday, it's super easy. You go to our Facebook page, Cinematic Adventures, and every Friday after 8 a.m., Eastern Standard Time, because it used to be between 8 and 9. Well, it's been a little loose lately. I've been on vacation. You guys can check that out. Make sure you guys answer, like the page, all that stuff. You can also find all of our other social media. We're on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram. Just type in The Misfit Faction or
Media
Cinematic
Network.
Adventures. The Misfit Faction Media Network.
.com.
It's not the website. It's the MrFaction.com. Stop doing that. People are going to get confused, all right?
People are already confused.
I have a new article dropping tomorrow.
Oh,
so
good for you. Yeah. What's about?
You will see.
Don't you want to tease it?
Once you learn how to read. Yeah. But it's about being 30.
Touche, sir.
It's about being in your 30s. Yeah, it's
almost done.
I know, right? Oh! Wow! Oh, God. I need to lay down. But as always, I'm Paul.
I'm Sean.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Let's-a-go.